Well, for some time now, there has been an attack on the family. I mean, you could be half out of it, and it would still be obvious to you that marriages today are absolutely under attack. And God had been dealing with me on this, and then Wednesday night, I had a conversation with a person here at the church, and it really solidified the fact that we have got to spend some time on this. Our church, our community, our state, and our nation will only be as strong as our families are. And folks, our families are in great disarray. And as you're going to see, that is not God's will at all. Even in the church, the divorce rate is up around 50%. How sad is that? I find that horribly sad. We have the answer right in front of us, which is God's word. And yet, because we're not applying this, we look just like the world. That's sad. That's tragic. That's what that is. Our marriages in the church ought to be a shining example to the world. And even out of those that do stay married, very few are happy. When I counsel people, one of the first things I do is say, okay, I want you to find three happily married couples that you can study their relationship. And they get this bewildered look on their face. They're like, I have to find three? I've never had anybody say, oh, yeah, I know three. In fact, they sit there and go, I might know one. Folks, that's sad. That is sad. Marriage should be one of the happiest, most joyful relationships we have anywhere. And the people around us can tell that we're not happy. That is sad. That definitely breaks my heart, but it doesn't have to be that way. That is not God's will for you. It is not God's will for your marriage just to survive. It is God's will for you that your marriage thrive. And the first thing you need to know is that it can. You've got to be convinced that it can. I don't care how bad it is right now, it can thrive. And in reality, it isn't that much harder to have a great marriage than it is to have an unhappy marriage. They both take work. Well, you say, well, how does it take work to have an unhappy marriage? Well, in a happy marriage, you build up blocks to make that marriage strong. In an unhappy marriage, you have to chisel away at those blocks and remove those blocks. So they're both work. The happier marriage could be a little bit harder, but it's not much harder. It's very durable. Very durable. Now, the things I'm going to share with you will change your marriage forever if you apply them. If you don't apply them, it won't help. You can sit here and listen to not only this message, but every other message. We're going to preach on this for at least 3, maybe 4 weeks. Because this God has really burdened my heart on this. But if the things I share with you, if you don't apply them, then you're going to keep on going having the same lousy marriage you've had. Or I say lousy marriage, whatever level your marriage is at. It's going to stay right there, if not get worse. Now, first of all, God laid it upon my heart that I need to tell you why you need to listen to me. And why you need to apply what he shared with me. I mean, to me, that's a valid point. Because a lot of times we get our advice from people that have no foundation for giving advice. I want to talk about that a little bit later. But the number one reason that you should listen to me and you should apply what I share with you is the things that I'm going to share with you come straight out of God's Word. Straight out of God's Word. A lot of people try to take God out of their marriage when they have problems. Well, folks, that's definitely not the solution. Taking God out of your marriage is going to bring you the opposite results of what you're looking for. That's kind of like saying, well, I'm building a concrete building, but I'm going to take all of the rebar and all of the support out of it. Or how long is that building going to stand? Not long. Even if it does stand, it's going to be in shambles. It's going to look horrible. It's going to be in a destitute situation. So taking God out of your marriage is not the solution. And here in this church and everywhere I've ever been, almost the first thing people do when they have marriage problems is quit church. I don't get it. I don't get it. You don't need less of God. You need more of God. If you want to build a strong, loving, wonderful marriage, you have to have God and you have to be applying His principles to make it strong. Now, the second reason that you should listen to me and apply what I share with you is for the past 36 years, since I was 16 years old, I have studied marriages. I've studied the good ones, and I've studied the bad ones. I know what works, and I know what doesn't work. I know what I'm talking about. And you may say, well, Brother Greg, you're kind of bragging. No, I've done my research. I've done my homework. I know what works and what doesn't work. I have seen the best of marriages completely fall apart because they quit doing what was working. You can destroy your marriage quickly. Just stop doing what you were doing to build it. And I've also seen the other side of the coin. I've seen the absolute worst relationships turned a complete 180 degree and go the other way and be a shining example of what a marriage should be. So the point of that is it really doesn't matter where you are now. It's where do you want to be? The third reason that you should listen to me and apply what I'm going to share with you is I have been very happily married for 31 years. And you may say, well, Brother Greg, there you go bragging again. I definitely am. I'm bragging on Diana. She's shown me what it takes to make a good marriage. You ladies think you've got it bad. You could have been married to me. I expect a lot of the ladies to go, oh, honey, you look so great. But I know from personal experience what it takes. And the first thing it takes, or I say the first thing, one of the primary things it takes is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week attitude of we can make this great. Did I just say that Diana and I never had problems? Well, I wish. There's been a few occasions that I've said this in my heart. I've never said it to her, but I'm like, you know, even when I hate you, I love you. How could you hate Diana? I don't really hate Diana. I just hate the things that happen sometimes in the situation and the circumstances. I'm just telling you, no marriage is perfect. We have been very happily married for 31 years, and there's been ups and downs just like there's going to be in every marriage. But it's how you deal with those and how you address those that make a difference. Now, I'm not going to get into very much today. This is all going to be kind of introductory today, but I'm going to share with you some things over the next 3 or 4 weeks that will literally change your marriage forever if you will apply it. The first thing I know about you, and I know this about every couple that I've ever talked to, is you did not get married to be miserable. You know, I've never sat down with a couple. I always ask them, why do you want to get married? I've never had one of them say, well, we want to get married so we can be absolutely miserable. They always say, oh, I love him or I love her so much. We're just going to live happily ever after. And it can be that way. I, again, have never seen anybody get married to be miserable. They get married to be fulfilled and happy. And it's during the tough times that we really have to apply that. With the right information and with a little bit of effort, you can have a great marriage. If your marriage isn't what it needs to be, then your first step is that you have to admit that what you're currently doing is not working. Doesn't that make sense? I've shared a story before, but this is such a prime example of this principle. There were two guys out deer hunting. On the first day of season, they hit the jackpot. They shot a 12-point buck. This thing was a monster, even bigger than the one that Wayne King claims to have shot this year. He said, I shot the biggest deer I've ever shot. And I'm sure he did. Just giving Wayne a hard time. But these guys shot this monster buck, and they field dressed it, and they were dragging it to the truck. They grabbed its hind legs and were dragging it to the truck. And on the way to the truck, they ran into another hunter, and he said, guys, it's really none of my business. But said, that deer would be a lot easier to drag if you would drag it by the horns. Well, that sounded reasonable. So they picked it up by the horns, started dragging, and in a few minutes, one of the guys said to the other, said, you know, that guy is full of wisdom. Said, this is a whole lot easier. The other guy said, well, I'm not so sure about the wisdom. Said, we're getting further from the truck all the time. Some of you will catch that. What's the point? If you're going the wrong direction, you've got to stop. I see people all the time. Our marriage is horrible, but we're not going to change anything. We're going to keep doing what we've always done. You've got to come to a point and just say, enough is enough. We're stopping and we're turning around. You have to admit that what you've been doing up to this point is not working. And you also have to come to a place that you admit that obviously you don't have all of the answers. And for some reason, well, I say some reason, it's our macho pride. Us guys have a hard time admitting we don't have all of the answers. Ladies, that's why we won't stop and ask directions. Of course I know where I'm going. No, we don't. We have to admit we don't have all of the answers. We need help. Now, for the next few minutes here, I want to talk just to the guys. And ladies, please don't throw any elbows. I'm going to get to you later, okay? Out of my 36 years of studying marriages, in the vast majority of the cases, when the husband does what he is supposed to, when the husband does what he is supposed to. Now, let's stop right there for a second. What is the husband supposed to do? He is supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Guys, you can't talk to your wife like an old dog and tell me you love her. In fact, sometimes I hear guys talking to their dog better than they do their wife. You promised before God and before the audience that was there to love your wife. God has commanded us to love our wives. The second thing we are to do is to respect her. Not when you feel like it. All the time. We'll get into this more later, but guys, you cannot raise your voice at your wife and tell me you respect her. You don't scream at somebody you respect. That's total disrespect. It throws up walls, it throws up barriers, and you'll never get anything accomplished. And the third thing we are to do is to cherish her. When you cherish something, what do? You treat it as special. You treat it as valuable. And I'm sure we all have something in our lives in a monetary way, a material way, that we cherish. You don't just throw it around, do you? When you cherish something, you treat it with respect. And you treat it with extra special care. Because you cherish it. Because it's valuable to you. So guys, when you do what you're supposed to, which is love her, respect her, and cherish her, your marriage will be wonderful. And your marriage will be happy. And yes, guys, I am talking to you because in the vast majority of the cases, when the man changes, the situation changes. And I don't know exactly why all that is. But I've seen it so many times. The lady will change and start doing what she's supposed to, but the guy doesn't. And things don't change until the guy gets his act together and starts doing what he's supposed to do. So, guys, here's what I'm telling you, and this is exciting. You can literally change your relationship immediately by doing those three things. If you want a better marriage, a better relationship, then that is where I would tell you to start. Now, my prayer and my hope through this whole thing is that husbands and wives would take the challenge of being one of those few couples that have a great relationship. And it's really only about 3% of the people that do have a great relationship, that have a great marriage. But you can do it. It's literally in your hands. God is the one that designed marriage. God is the one that instituted marriage. And so he is the one that we need to look to for advice. He's the one that we need to look to for wisdom. Who knows more about something that was created or designed than the person that created it or designed it? Well, you're going to have a hard time finding anybody there, aren't you? Because it's going to be the creator. God must be first in your life. He must be first in your spouse's life and in your relationship, or you're going to have a very hard time ever having a great relationship because your foundation is extremely weak. If God is not your foundation is extremely weak. What does that mean? That means you're going to be constantly trying to rebuild the house on a weak foundation. The house that Diana's mom and dad lives in, they've been there 25 years now, I think. They've had to spend literally tens of thousands of dollars rebuilding the foundation because they didn't know it when they moved in, but the foundation was weak. They've had that thing propped up on every side you can prop it up on, and it would have probably been almost cheaper for them to bulldoze it down and start over. Well, a lot of our marriages are like that. We're trying to build a marriage on a weak foundation, and folks, it is hard. It's difficult. God has to be first in your life, and until you get that right, it's going to be very difficult. And I've had people ask me, say, well, Brother Greg, why does it always come back to God? Or where else do you think you're going to get your answers? Oh, I know, Dr. Phil. Yeah, that's a good place to go get them. Oprah. Yeah, that's even better. How about the guy at work that's been married 3 or 4 times? I'm sure he's got the answers, and we'll listen to him. I've talked to guys before about their relationship problems, and they'll tell me, well, so-and-so down at work said such and such. And in the conversation, it'll come up that guy's been married more than once or twice or 3 times or 4 times. And I'm like, and you're taking advice from him. Guys, let's use our heads. I know you want help or you wouldn't be talking to the guy at work. Make sure you get your help and your advice and your wisdom from the right place. Now, I'm entitling this message, Extreme Makeover Marriage Edition. And I'm sure most of us here have seen the Extreme Makeover Home Edition. They do a couple of things when they get ready to work on a house. First of all, they find a worthy family. I want to say this, and then I'll come back to it later. No matter how bad your relationship is with your husband or your wife, at one point in your life, you found that other person worthy. Or you would have never made the commitment to marry them for the rest of your life that you made. So it may not seem worthy now, but at one point or another, you both were worthy. The second thing they do on that show is they find a house that needs a lot of work. They go in and they rip out everything that's old. They throw away all of the junk. That's a big part of getting your marriage fixed right there. Throw away everything that's old and throw away all of the junk. And if you'll notice, they replace it with new, beautiful, strong materials and furnishings. Within just a few days, they have rebuilt a house that looks completely different, is much better off than it was just a few days earlier. About the only thing they keep on those houses is the foundation. And if the foundation is weak, then what do they do with it? They bulldoze it or blow it up. I've seen them do all sorts of things to them and start over. Well, sometimes, just like on a house, our marriages need an extreme makeover. And I hope your relationship is not to that point. But if it is, there's hope for your relationship. That's exactly what I'm telling you today. It doesn't matter how bad off your relationship is. There is hope. As long as you both are willing to work on it, there's always hope. But just like on the house, you have to go in and rip out all of the old. All of the stuff that's not working. All of the stuff that's causing problems. All of the junk that's in your relationship. And you have to start all over. That's why it's called extreme makeover. And if your marriage needs that, do it. Why wouldn't you do it? I see people that sometimes go from marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage. And I'm like, if you would just settle down and work hard at one of these, you wouldn't have all these marriages out there, all these different exes. And if that's your philosophy, I've seen very few that ever was happy in their relationship if they had their third or fourth or fifth marriage for the simple reason they hadn't learned how to make a good marriage. I can come to your house and build a porch, and I can promise you it won't stand very long. Why? I don't know how to build porches. I can show you some, well, I can't show you. They're all gone now. I can show you where there used to be some porches that I built. You don't want me building a porch at your house or a house or anything. Folks, I'm just saying we have to learn how to do it right. And you can definitely do that. If the foundation is solid, keep it. And the foundation is God and mutual love. But if that foundation is not there, you need to tear that down as well. Because sometimes it takes extreme measures to correct all of the neglect, whether it's on a house or whether it's on a marriage. You can look at a house and tell if it's been neglected, can't you? Things start to fall. And it may be small things in the beginning. But if the neglect continues, you can drive by that house in a few years and it's literally falling in because of neglect. And it may have been a well-built home when it was built. But neglect is devastating. Your relationship may have been the best in the world when it started. But through neglect, starting to look like it's in shambles. But an extreme makeover can help you. Now, God wants the word extreme in your marriage. He doesn't want it to be extreme makeover. He wants it to be extremely happy. Instead of having to do the extreme makeover, God wants you to be extremely happy. It's called wedlock, not dreadlock. We should be enjoying our marriage, not enduring our marriage. We must make a change, and in some cases, it needs to be immediately. If you're not happy in your relationship, then you need to change your relationship immediately. I didn't say change spouses. I said change your relationship. I want to make sure we got that straight. And the sad thing is, folks, most marriages do need an extreme makeover. Most of them. And they need it now. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at marriage in depth. I'm going to show you how you can have a great marriage with some very practical steps. I've already given you a few today that we're going to go into more detail about. For example, not raising your voice. I read a story this week that really caught my attention. I understand that a lot of people don't have or haven't had a good role model in their home of what a good husband and a good wife should be. When you grew up, your mom and dad might have argued all the time and might not have got along and fought and bickered and all that. Doesn't matter. I hear people say, well, I don't know how I should treat my husband. I don't know how I should treat my wife. Well, after these next 4 weeks, you will. But I read a story this week. This guy said, I was raised in an orphanage. I had no idea what a good husband even looked like. He said, I wasn't around married people. I was in an orphanage. I didn't even know what a good father figure looked like. But he said, fortunately, when I got married, my father-in-law gave me a watch that had a phrase inscribed on the face of it. And he said, every time I looked at my watch, I saw that phrase. And he said, because of that phrase, I have been very happily married for 50 years. And I'm going to tell you what that phrase is in 2 weeks. Don't you love cliffhangers? But I hope you'll be here for all 4 weeks. I hope that you will not only come, but that you'll bring pen and paper and say, Brother Greg has given me some great stuff. I need to apply this. I have to have a plan to put my house, my marriage, back together. On that show, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, do you think they just walk up with all those hundreds of people and say, okay, everybody do what you want, and we're going to build this house? No. They have a very specific, detailed blueprint. Well, folks, without a plan, how well is your marriage going to function? Not very well. I mean, you may get the sheetrock up before you think about plumbing. Well, you got a problem there, don't you? You may have the floors completely finished and the ceilings completely finished and the walls completely finished and then think about, oh, we need some electricity. If you don't know what you're doing, you may put the insulation on the inside of the ceiling instead of above the ceiling. See why you have to have a blueprint? You have to have a plan to make it work. You may have all of the necessary ingredients, but if you don't have them brought together right, you've still got a mess. You've still got a mess. So I hope you'll bring your pen and your paper and that you will make a commitment to be one of the very few people that has an amazing marriage. Why not you? That's my question. Why not you? You can if you want to. And I don't care how long you've been married. If it's not been right up to this point, start over. Say, okay, we've been going in the wrong direction too long. We're stopping. We're turning around, and we're going to do this right. And for the rest of our lives, we're going to be happy. If you'll let it, this series of messages will totally change your relationship if it needs totally changed. For those of you that already have good relationships, it can make it better. When's the time to start working on things? When you first realize there's a problem. Every so often, I walk into the front door of our house. First thing I do, WD-40. A squeak is the first sign that something's wrong, isn't it? If you see your nail starting to come out a little bit, go get the hammer, drive the nail back in. Don't wait until the whole roof falls off. Don't wait till the sheetrock is laying in the living room floor and go, well, I wonder what happened. But if you need an extreme makeover, you're at the right place at the right time. And I'm going to encourage you to do this, to call some of the folks that are not here, that need to be here, and tell them what I'm preaching on. I put it on Facebook. I put it on email and everything else as much as I could to get the word out, hoping that we'd have more people here. Because, folks, this is a message every married couple or soon-to-be married couple needs to hear. And I implore you to do your best to get those here that need to hear. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the institution of marriage. Why you designed it just like you did, I don't know. But in your wisdom, you did. And Father, when we follow your plan and your blueprint, it is a beautiful and amazing thing. And I know there's been an attack on our families lately. I know there's been an attack on the marriages. And I pray, Father, that through this series of messages, that you would heal relationships here in this church. Father, I realize that some of our marriages are very good here in this church, but we could always be better. I also realize that some of the marriages in this church need work. And I know that if the husband and the wife were determined to work together, they can make it where it would be an absolutely wonderful, loving, caring relationship. And I pray for those that are not here, that should be here, that you would put it upon their heart that they need to be here to hear this life-changing message. And I thank you for what you're going to do over the next 3 to 4 weeks amongst the families in this church. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.